We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, honey.
Hi.
Sitting in the garage again, huh?
Yeah.
All alone?
Yeah.
On our son's bicycle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to be without your bike, so do something easy and protect it with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. And when you ride with us for 4 straight years without an accident, we won't count your first one against you, no matter how much it costs. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Accident forgiveness not available in all states.
This is with Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have our hot take Harry, Harrison Citron. How are you, sir?
Thanks.
Our hot take Harry. It's like we own.
Thank you.
Your property. The tables have turned.
It's all good.
We have our professional screw-up, Mr. Alex Toledo. Alex, say hi or something. Okay, your mic's not working. You're off to a great start, of course.
Well, living up to the name.
Is your mic working? Okay, his mic's still not working as he's talking to the microphone. We have a guest today, Brass Jazz. How are you, sir? You can find him at Brass Jazz on Twitter.
I am doing well.
So we have one guest. And we have two guests. We have Rohan. I don't want to say your last name because I forgot it already.
That's all right.
What's your last name? Say it again.
It's Rohan Ned Carney. Let's go to...
Where can people find you, Rohan, so we could tell the good people?
They can find me at sportsillustrated.com/NBA at the crossover.
This is the most credible person we've had on. He exceeds that of George Sedano, Israel Gutierrez, Anthony Chang, Jason Leisure. We got a Sports Illustrated writer. Some professionalism on this show. He's even wearing a tie. He even dressed up.
Yeah, I can't even wear a tie for a podcast. Can we curse on this?
No. We're corporate now.
Certain words.
If you curse, Brian has to go back and edit it, and that makes him very unhappy. So do it very often to bother him.
Well, I can't be a war tie for a podcast.
Write that down, Brian. Write that down.
Love this guy.
And, of course, we have our producer slash co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins. I always introduce you first, and this time I did last. Hi, Brian.
Howdy.
Okay. Off to a great start. So there's so many places we can go to start. I guess the obvious place is last night's game. With Miami season on the line, the most important minutes by far at game 81, Spoelstra went to 4 guards and James Johnson at center. Oh, I guess Okara White, James Johnson at center and 3 guards. Rohan, I want to give it to you first. Like the balls it takes to do that, right? Like your season's on the line. You bench Hassan and Goran, and you go James Johnson at the 5, Okoro White, who has had seen limited minutes throughout this run, and then 3 guards.
So I actually had a huge problem with how long it took Spo to do that, frankly. I could not believe that he had Whiteside in the game for as long as he did last night. I've come around on Whiteside for the most part. I think we all, you know, agree that he has those inconsistent stretches of effort, and it's kind of annoying to see, you know, from a fan's perspective. He shouldn't have been in the game last night the way the Cavs were playing. I mean, he clearly couldn't guard Channing Frye at the three-point line. He couldn't guard Kevin Love. Darren Williams was having his way in the pick and roll, largely because of Hassan. I'm surprised it took Spo that long, frankly. To me, the guts thing, it kind of went out the window. Like, at some point in the third quarter, I was like, Spo, what are you doing? You got to get Whiteside out of the game. It was just ridiculous how long he was in there. It was crazy. At one point, Josh Richardson was, like, playing power forward. They went with, like, that crazy four-guard lineup when Goran came in. That was a little bit too much. I would have liked to see something maybe like Goran, TJ, Jay Rich, Okoro, and James Johnson, which didn't really happen last night. I thought that would have been a good lineup, but if anything, I was shocked that it took Spo that long to go small.
Well, Goran was giving them nothing. I actually want to ask you guys, that has to be a foot problem, right? Because when he was turning to the corner on the pick and roll, he couldn't beat anyone off the dribble. And not that he does that like Dwayne Wade-esque, but I mean, he can beat bigs off a dribble if he gets him in the pick and roll, and he just wasn't getting around anyone. You're shaking your head.
Oh, I also thought it was a bit of a Hassan problem last night. I mean, I think if you would space the floor for him the way it was for TJ, you know, he would have had a better chance. I agree that his foot, he hasn't looked the same, but I do think there was an element of the paint was a little crowded for him whenever he was in the game.
Yeah, but even when they went that stretch that they went four guards, he still wasn't good. I know Hassan was screening, and Hassan has to roll to the basket better. He waits too long, right? He kind of holds the screen and kind of meanders for a second and then goes, which kills it. But even when they had four guards and Goran would get a step, he'd get there and nothing. And then they just have to reset the offense. Like, it was kind of annoying. But Brass, I don't know. You want to add anything or about that or what?
Man, I didn't get a chance to watch any replay of that. I was there at the game, so my in-game eye test is completely different to what my television eye test is.
As it is,
because it felt like when that game started, they were getting whatever they wanted in the paint, and they couldn't get any shots from outside. I don't know. In reality, I don't know if that's what it was like, because halfway through that game, I checked the box score. It felt like they scored like 20 threes on us, and then we just couldn't get anything. And we shot two less than they did at that point. You know, so, I don't know.
No, it was a weird game because, like you said, to start, and I think a lot of that was James Johnson was creating more to start, and they were doing a lot of ball movement. James Johnson would come, and then the action would come secondary, But Miami took as many threes as them, at least through the half, but just they didn't make anything, and they defroze Darren Williams from 2010.
I was really hyped going into that because with Tristan Thompson out of there, I'm like, that guy can only get offensive rebounds. That's the only thing that that guy can do. And so I'm like, oh, without him in there, Hassan should be able to clean this up. And then, you know, if they're not hitting their shots, they're going to be able to go in there and get all of those rebounds. But the problem is they were hitting all their shots.
Yeah, but like, what Rohan alluded to was how Hassan had trouble with Channing Frye and Love. Hassan has historically done really well against Tristan. Like, he's kind of owned him. He's kind of like his daddy, like Gortat.
Right.
So that Harry, you've been quiet, man. Your hot take, Harry. What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm waiting for Harry to jump in.
Come on, say something. Say something inflammatory.
Have the guts.
If you want to know how good I am at these podcasts, I started talking before only to realize my mic was muted, and I was like, why is no one listening to me?
I went in
right before Brass Jazz started talking, and I was just like, yo, Giancarlo's just completely ignoring what I said, and then I looked down and realized that my mic was off, and I was just like, oh. Yeah, rookie mistake. So
you're being a real
professional screw up number two.
Hold on, wait. Pause for a second. Alex, is your mic working yet?
I don't know. Is it?
Hi, Alex. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Okay. Quick question before you guys continue.
Harry's turn. You're done.
Wow.
Harry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think we kind of like pick and choose on Goran because it wasn't before the game last night. He had like a 5-game streak of a really good offensive game going, and he just kind of looked slow last night. I mean, it could be the foot. It could be... it's just been a long season, and there's going to be games where he doesn't have it. I agree that Hassan, you know, his inability to set like a solid screen every time definitely hurts Goran's ability to get into the paint and be effective. But Sometimes it's just an off game. And can we talk about that James Johnson got denied two? He would have had two straight game-winning field goals last night if it wasn't for a horrible call by the refs. That would have been pretty cool that they're going to James Johnson when the game's on the line. He usually delivers.
The offensive foul, you mean?
Yeah, that wasn't an offensive foul.
Oh, the flop on Korver, you mean?
I mean,
they called it. It was a foul because Korver's so slow and white that he just like. I mean, he was.
There it is.
He was just kind of like he got there so late that the ref was like, "Well, he must have been pushed." And then you look at the replay; there's no foul.
The officiating was terrible. I mean, I was like, Kevin Love was getting these superstar calls. I'm like, who deemed this guy a superstar? One ring, man. I'm not impressed.
Caprice, oh, I was lying to see.
It's the proper way to do it. No, the way that he finishes take.
I don't want to do referee show, but that was officiated so inconsistent. Cause like Love was hooking Hassan all night or grabbing arms.
Mm-hmm.
And like was not getting called for any of that, and then Kevin Love would get, like you said, superstar call. I don't want to do the referee show. We're not that show.
It's fine, but if you want a hot take on
Harry wants to do the referee show
before you do it. I think what should happen is whatever their salary is for the game, every like really egregious missed call they should get right out of their paycheck. And guess what? They'll stop making egregious mistakes because that's less food on the table for their
Harry,
children.
You think they're doing it on you know how hard that is to do?
Oh, it's so hard. My brother's been doing reffing like for a while now, and he's like, it's such a hard job. And I'm like, I agree. You don't be that bad at it.
I mean, the NBA goes at 1,000 miles per hour. I mean, like, it's not like they're doing it on purpose.
Look, man, referees and weathermen are the only people that are consistently wrong and still have jobs. So, and maybe the president now, but we're all
you.
Zynga!
Nice, Brian.
Okay, Alex, what question did you want to ask before I rudely interrupted? Good producing, Brian. Good job, bud. Alex, what did you want to ask?
One for one. Okay, is it true that Tony last night said that the Cavs went 5 for 3 on threes? That's impressive, yo.
Oh, please be true. Can anyone confirm that?
They were talking about it on Levitard today. I'm like, I completely missed that.
I missed that too. I hope that's true. Please be true.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Tony's a legend.
Tony's a gem.
Tony is the ultimate Heat lifer.
Do you know I can't find that stats video anymore because they got rid of Vine? That's my
favorite. Oh, really? That's gone?
Oh, no.
Wait, you can't even search Vine anymore?
No, you can definitely find it.
I don't know. I had it saved, and now it's just like not easily accessible.
Still available. No, you can't. I mean, that is the best Vine in the history of Miami Heat basketball. That includes Flying Death Machine. What?
How do you like Tony but not Cody?
Well, because Tony's funny.
Oh no! See, I actually need to stick up for my guy Greg Cody here.
Thank you.
I've been seeing this on Twitter for a long time. Man. Greg Cody, man, one of the all-time guys I've met in my entire life.
Why?
When I was an intern at the Miami Herald, that dude was so nice. I remember hung out with him at a Marlins game. Listened to just all his stories, you know, over the years. This is a good Cody story. When I was an intern at the Miami Herald, everyone on the staff smoked cigars. I remember George Rojas was a sports editor once. Like one day when I went to the office, I didn't do anything except he taught me how to order Cuban cigars from Canada on the internet. And so like Cody was like, hey, do you smoke cigars? And I'd never smoked anything in my life, let alone a cigar. And I was like, yeah, all the time. And he was like, that's great. Let's meet up in Plantation. We'll smoke a cigar. I was like, that sounds awesome. I met up with Cody. I was like 20 years old. We smoked a cigar and we drank a couple beers. And I could not drive home. I literally had to just sit in my car for an hour.
So you're saying that Greg Cody gave a minor alcohol?
Oh, jeez.
Cody, I remember I was a big fan of.
Sounds irresponsible if you're asking me. I mean, you couldn't even drive. I mean, what if you're a bright person? What if you were not the bright person that you are and didn't have the foresight not to drive and you hit like a cat or something and that cat's blood would be on Cody's hands?
I told Cody I was a big fan of the Levitard show and he brought me down to the studio and I got to watch in the producer's room. With Mike Ryan,
Yeah, he's so bad at the radio, though.
No, he fills a role. He's playing a role. He's playing a character.
It's a bad role.
No, it's the one they gave him. I'll defend Cody until death. I love that guy.
No, Rohan, that was a nice defense, but you don't have to defend stuff against Giancarlo. None of his takes are right. Like, he's not right about anything. Right.
You know what? Yeah.
He doesn't like TJ, who saved the Heat season last night.
I look so bad. Let's talk about how bad I looked last night.
I think you looked bad all season on the TJ take.
No, for like a month and a half, I looked great. I had people agreeing with me. That month that he was playing awful, man, that was the best month of this season.
He was injured.
I don't care. I look smart. He was playing bad. He was costing his game.
Go back to Cody for a second. I'll take Cody's role on Lebatard over your role on Twitter any day, G.
I'm so much better at everything except for writing than Cody. And he's not even that great a writer.
No, man. Cody has some gems, man. You just got to be on the lookout.
Have you guys seen how @DosMinutos always tags me in, like, bad Cody jokes on Twitter? Like, he's trying to bait me so hard. I hate that.
You've been baited. I think you've been just, you know.
No, yeah, No, it's that he tweeted just like a score. And I'm like, why are you tweeting this?
Have you been blocked by Ira yet? I feel like
I haven't. I've been trying to get blocked by Ira forever. And, like, he won't block me.
He's muted, right?
You think I'm muted?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I tried to get that Ben Dossett guy to block me, and he muted me.
No, you got to come out swinging from the get-go, man, if you want
to block. Yeah, see, I'm not that good at this. So I'm still a rookie trying to get blocked.
You're not a rude person. Like, you need to actually be, like, mean. You're playing a role too. You're just trying, but it's not. You gotta go.
I make secondary audio jokes.
Secondary audio jokes, great. I still haven't heard an explanation for that, by the way.
No, of course not, because he just made stuff up. Well, Ira just lied. That's what he did. He just lied. What else?
Yeah. Or he and his son grind together. Like, this is
grind Wintermans.
That's just strange. Can you imagine the grinding Wintermans at a bar mitzvah? It must be awful.
Oh my God.
Are they Jewish?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Hey, be nice to Jews today. Come on.
Not Sean Spicer.
Yeah, no.
That was a disaster.
That's horrible.
Oh, so I want to get into what UD said today, and I'm sure I'm going to hear this for a while because Alf is already, like, DMing me, yelling at me for my tweets. Udonis Haslem said that this is one of his favorite Heat teams, and that includes the big three teams. And Udonis is lying to us. That's not true. I'm sorry.
You're a fraud.
No, I'm not a fraud. How is this team any iota of as fun as
what are you talking about?
Years?
Like, here's the thing. Here's what I think people lose in this argument is what it comes down to is, like, as no one is saying those big three teams weren't a lot of fun, but there's something to be said about, like, it was finals or bust every time. Like, your expectations were so high that the satisfaction, as great as it was, it could only be so much. Whereas, like, the unexpectedness of this whole season and the turnaround in the middle of a season, I can see why that's fun for people. It's a different kind of fun. It's a different kind of stress, but, like, how low the expectations were and the way everyone was piling on the team for tanking for so long to then do what they're doing now. It's like, I can see what people are talking about when they say that.
No, I can totally, like, see, like, if somebody tells me this is one of my favorite Heat teams, I totally understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. But to say it's anywhere near the level of fun that those big, because, like, every game mattered. Like, now every game matters. Like, the way this feeling that you had last night was every night, because you, like, Heat fans were scared to lose that game.
I think it didn't really feel like that until the playoffs.
No, man, the first 2 years? Like, Tuesday night against the Kings? Like, you didn't want to lose against the Kings. Like, that's embarrassing. You didn't want to hear it.
But it just didn't matter.
I think the inverse was true. I think every game mattered to the opponents because they wanted to knock off the Heat every time. The Heat, it didn't really matter to them. And
you guys
the thing
remember
is,
how we lived and died with those games?
Yeah, but here's the thing, man. You live in a safe space in Miami, right? So you experience that whole thing, and with the exception of the, you know, of Twitter, everyone around you agrees. And these guys go from city to city. I mean, I lived in New York for the entire entire Big Three era. Knicks fans, awful people. And oh God. But, you know, so it's not only did you need to win every game, you had to beat them by 20 points every game. Otherwise, it's like, ugh, you guys suck. You know, and imagine what the players are going through. That's not fun for them.
No, like I get the first year not being fun for them, but the 27 game win streak and that stuff was fun. The playoffs,
yeah. Awesome. But I think another problem is the last big 3 year was not fun at all.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like a recency bias because the playoffs sucked, and the regular season you could tell that team was like very over it.
Yeah, but the playoffs sucked. I mean, it was fun beating the Pacers.
No, but Giancarlo, I think you're confusing like how the fans feel about seasons compared to how the players feel.
And I'm starting to realize that now, yeah.
Yeah, and so like when I saw the tweet, I was like, the big 3 years as a player couldn't have been that amazing. Like the first year was hellfire and brimstone, like we're getting batteries thrown at us in Cleveland, and then we end up losing that year. The next year we win, but it's a lockout season. There's even more pressure. I mean, they were talking about trading Bosch if we had lost. Mm-hmm. And then the year after the 27 game win streak is probably fun looking back on it, but every night the pressure of trying to win can't be that much fun. And yeah, the 2014 season was really not fun for anybody.
That,
so
yeah, I thought that bled out for the fans too. That 2014 season, I don't remember. There was just not a good vibe around that team after they let Mike go.
I don't know about good vibe.
Joel.
It felt a little mundane, like the regular season.
Yeah,
you know. Because I think there was still the Indiana threat kind of looming. But other than those games, you know, and that year there was a fun game against the Warriors. Like, that regular season had its moments. But I think largely it was kind of let's wait for the playoffs and the first two rounds.
But you went from 2013 regular season where if LeBron didn't want you to score, you were not scoring. And in 2014, it was just like a layup line. I mean, it's a totally different, like,
way they were playing. No, but I'm not including, but I'm saying like for the fans, the first 2 years of that team, like I don't see how anybody can say that this is more fun than that.
Well, no, but I think just expectation wise, I forgot to mention it. I think it was Rohan. Like if you're talking to Haslam, Haslam's favorite seasons are probably his rookie year when they, you know, it started out poorly and then ended up getting into the playoffs and won that first round series. He and Wade came in together in 2003. And then this season's a ton of fun for a player if you're down and out. Everyone's counting you out. And, I mean, the Heat could end up winning 30 of their last 41 games, being the first team to ever come back to 500, being 19 games below. It's a fun season. You know, playoffs or not, you got to be proud of what they've done.
I'm not saying it's not a fun season, but you don't even – I mean, do you remember the brotherhood that those guys had? I mean, those are forever bonds.
I know, but Giancarlo, you're basically telling
I'm basically telling Adonis' opinion
is horrible.
Yes, I'm telling you, D, that your opinion sucks, and no, you're wrong. Okay,
you
but
would
let's
never say that to his face because
– I'd tell you, Adonis. I feel like you'd understand. Okay, I feel like, sure. UD, I don't believe you. I believe you're lying to me.
You'd be afraid to tell Tyler Johnson how you really
feel. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I'd tell TJ. We've been trying to get TJ on the show. He won't answer my emails.
I'll talk to him next time I see him.
Ask him, yeah.
Who are you asking?
Your question. Do you like anime?
Huh?
Do you like anime?
Nah, ain't my thing, man.
That's what I thought.
He doesn't. Hey, you keep laughing. So, you know, Scum's Wish is coming your way.
Oh, God. Brooke Lopez, I hate you.
Yeah, so Brass and I made a bet, or Brass volunteered this bet. He said, if the Heat don't make the playoffs, I'll watch an anime. So, listen, folks at home, Google Scum's Wish. It's an anime. It's 12 episodes. Do it.
It's 12 episodes?
Yeah,
I'm not watching 12 episodes.
You watch one 30-minute thing. You don't have to torture the guy.
Okay, watch one 30-minute episode of Scum's Wish. This is gonna be fun.
I haven't even looked it up. I haven't, you know, I looked up the poster and
don't watch it with your
guy enough. But man, I'm not watching. I'm watching that alone. I'm locking the door. I don't want to spend. I didn't even look up a description because it doesn't matter. And also, no, I really don't. I don't. If I'm gonna have to watch 30 minutes of that, that's 34 minutes too many. I can't. I don't know why. I tried to show that I had the guts, and I mean that was a mistake.
If you're at home, look at the Scum's Wish plot summary on Wikipedia.
But what's up with the teams like benching other guys who have why wouldn't you play your players? And why isn't the league should be stepping in? Miami is a much better story than the Pacers or the Bulls or something. I mean, this is ridiculous that the Nets are benching everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we got to hope for Briante to step up tonight.
Wait, the Nets are benching everyone on Wednesday?
Yeah,
they're sitting everyone tomorrow.
Everyone.
Well,
Lynn, Lopez, all that.
Yeah. Our only chance is for the Charlotte to pull off an upset over the Hawks tonight, and then the Hawks would have to win tomorrow to get the fifth instead of, if they lose, they're dropped down to seventh.
Right, Charlotte so down by 17.
Who's down?
Charlotte.
Oh, no. Why did you do that? I was... okay, never mind. We're not making the playoffs.
That's really bad news.
Didn't the game just start?
Yep, second quarter. 56-39. On the bright side, Tony Romo is doing layup lines.
I want Romo to get in the game.
Me too. I do too. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I don't know why people are taking this so seriously. It'd be awesome for him to get in the game.
Can they send him to Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Well, I said this is the most exciting thing to happen to Mavericks basketball since LeBron forgot that NBA games are four quarters.
I don't think we talk enough. If he was just merely mediocre in that series, they probably win.
Don't even get me started about that series. I was in New York when they lost, and I was like wearing my Heat shirt, and I was like, "Oh, we're definitely gonna, you know, win Game Six and push it to seven." And then we lost, and I couldn't face anybody in that stupid city. Sorry, guys.
That's as bad as sports has ever made me feel. That series, yeah. I felt embarrassed. No.
That summer, I completely changed the way I view basketball. I was living in Atlanta at the time. I dealt with so many people who wanted the Heat to lose. I remember I was watching the Bulls playoffs game, and I was watching with 12 people that wanted the Heat to lose. And when we won, I got up and I screamed like, "F all of you, get out of my house." I literally kicked everyone out of my house.
Yeah, so. I called out of work the next day for rest.
DTD, brass, rest. Coach's decision.
Aberstro loves it.
He's gonna write a call on it.
I was in a very angry text exchange with some coworkers last night because Ben Golliver's not picking Russ to win MVP. I think people are overthinking this one so much. But if you don't want to go Russ, you want to go Harden, whatever. Aberstro picking Kawhi for MVP is the most pretentious thing I've just seen in my it makes me furious that someone thinks Kawhi should actually win MVP this year.
I think this is the first MVP talk we've had all year that doesn't mention James Johnson.
I think we've mentioned on the pod before, but Haberstroh was great when he was the only one looking at the numbers. Now that like Joe Schmo can get a subscription to like Synergy and figure stuff out, he's not that great. Like, but I didn't want to say his name wrong or something. Joe Schmo.
Yeah, Nikias can get the numbers, and now Tom Haberstroh's not special anymore because
Nikias isn't Joe Schmo. Nikias knows what he's doing. I'm just saying, like,
kind of Joe Schmo.
I'm saying literally anyone can pick up the numbers and do like, yeah. But Kawhi, I understood what Haberstroh is saying, that they really don't factor in defense a lot when they're looking at the MVP or in general.
Yeah, why does that bother you so much, bro? I mean, the Spurs are, sorry to cut you off, Harry, but the Spurs are what, 60 plus wins this year?
I mean, the problem is like people keep bringing in all these things like his stats per 100 possessions or all these things. It matters how many minutes you play in a game. Like, it matters to me that Russ plays a lot of minutes. It matters to me that LeBron plays a lot of minutes. People are also like very conveniently ignoring some defensive metrics that maybe say Kawhi hasn't been a great of a defender this year. You know, like you could get a group of numbers that says Kawhi hasn't been a lockdown defender. I think for a while there, the Spurs defensive rating was better with him off the court. And so obviously, yes, we all watch basketball. We know he's a great defender. We know he's a great one-on-one defender, but it's a little annoying that people say those metrics don't matter when it's convenient for them. And it's convenient for them when it comes to Kawhi. You know, I think I think it was Matt Moore from CBS was tweeting about this, and someone tweeted this at him, and I thought it was a great kind of observation in that Kawhi is obviously a great offensive player, but I think that he is a huge part of a machine, whereas a guy like Russ drives the machine.
Well, it's a famous Marino Montana quote, like, Montana is part of the system, Marino is the system.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, to me, narratives matter sometimes, and you can get into all these stats and all kinds of stuff. Like, Kevin Durant left the Thunder, and Russ was like, "I have to average a triple-double," and he did that. And that is, to me, enough Like, you can split all the hairs on all these numbers and everything. To me, it does mean something that team was, like, left for dead. And he was like, no, we're not going out like this.
Yeah, to me, the MVP award stopped mattering after Derrick Rose won it. So I haven't really paid attention to the race since that happened.
You're a liar. Stop lying.
No, I mean,
you're like Udonis. Stop lying.
No, I'm not. I'm not really a huge, like, I don't want to get into, I'm not a huge Russell Westbrook fan, so I don't want to, like, I mean, I think
I know, there are arguments against him, I get that. And
I think he's going to win it by a high margin. I think he's going to win it by a lot. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think, you know, Harden's best argument is that, you know, they didn't predict the Rockets to have that many wins this year, but they're just as good.
Their numbers are oddly similar, right? Like, they're like...
Right, but the difference is they're just as good when Harden sits on the bench, the way that D'Antoni's got that system running, whereas when Russ sits, they're like a JV team.
Hold on, wait a second. You know that Harden's not a system player.
Wait. Do you know who Russell's backup is? And that's a serious question. Do you know?
Is it Norris Cole now?
Nope.
It was Cameron Payne, but he's gone.
Yeah, nope. I don't know who's there.
Samaje Christian.
Is Norris Cole there?
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, but
Norris Cole tried to jump up and, like, you know, do some kind of move with Russ when he won the game. And Cole couldn't do it because Cole can't. He's not good at anything. Come on. That was
fake, man.
Is Cole a Heat lifer?
Yes.
Yes.
Brian, do you want to play the music? Want to play our game?
I love this game so much. Brian, produce.
Oh, I have to look it up. Give me a second.
Oh my God, why are you so slow? You're supposed to be on it.
Is your girlfriend supposed to be there right now?
No. Game plan music.
Just come on. This is just bop, 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 bop. 1, 2, 3, boom. You're a bad producer. Right. You're fired. I don't want it anymore.
Why don't you perform the song for us?
No. Is Chris Bosh a Heat lifer?
Yes. We did that one before.
Did we do that one already?
Did we do that last time? I lost track. I should write.
You're fired.
All right, Brian. I don't want the music anymore. No, it's over. I don't want it. It took too long. I don't want it. I don't want it. We're not playing anymore. I'm not going to talk.
And now it's time for Heat Lifer or Not a Heat Lifer with Giancarlo Nava.
Why are you so bad at your job? Like, you have one job, and it's to be ready with the couple sounds that we occasionally use.
You can't spell right.
No, I can't. I can't. I can't spell, and I can't write. Brian, I don't want to play. Take it off. We're done. You ruined it. You killed the mood.
By the way, the Tony Fiorentino stats video, that I was trying to look it up, it doesn't exist anymore. It's totally gone.
Someone needs that
game on DVR.
At least we still have the photo.
That's the biggest loss of the season. I was looking at I saw a chart that Miami's the second most injured team this year. I forgot who was number one. Yeah, Utah was number one and Miami's number two. I thought that was, does that count Chris Bosh? You guys don't want to talk?
So, which is kind of incredible that Utah's number one.
Yeah, that was like,
yeah, really.
Because Bosh has missed a whole season. Justice has missed pretty much a whole season. Deion has missed like a fourth of it. McRoberts?
Deion's going to end up missing 50 games, man.
That cannot include Bosh. Because, I mean, if you count McRoberts, is Exum hurt? I guess Exum's been out all year, right?
No, McRoberts definitely doesn't count. They knew he was going to be out for the rest of the time. He doesn't count towards it.
You guys trying to make a comeback last night?
You guys are too mean about McBob, man. He was playing well this year.
Nope.
Well,
no, I get really, like, I get scared when McBob's near the huddle. I assume he's just gonna, like, break into pieces.
When I saw him on the court, like, shooting layups before the game, I was terrified.
He was having a good year this year, and he played really well in the playoffs last year.
Do you guys remember that Onion article with Greg Oden where there was like teammates pass ball to Greg Oden and he breaks into 1,000 pieces? That's what I think of with Josh McRoberts.
I agree with Rohan. I'm a McBob's fan. What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know, man. Like, how can you be a McRoberts fan but not a TJ fan? Come on, man.
I'm a Josh McRoberts apologist.
So predictable.
Me too, man. I'm Team McBob's. He was so good. The defensive tandem of him and Bosch was like one of the best in the league.
Yeah, like if he actually got to play with Bosch like how he should have, like they would have been really good.
But guys, after a while, like being available is something that you need to be able to do. Like I really like watching. I really liked watching Brandon Roy play basketball, but the guy, both of his knees don't work. So what do you, you know, you need your knees to play basketball.
Yeah, but I mean, why are we gonna get mad at someone who just gets hurt? That just seems mean.
Because if he's walking his dog and he steps on a rock and that's the end of his season, like it doesn't make sense that that is. Like, listen, I have no athletic skills at all. I don't get hurt like that. So if we want to, like, switch or something, we should do that because it doesn't make sense. Because
he hurt himself playing on a bad foot against Toronto. Just throwing that out there.
If passing were, like an event at the All-Star game.
It is.
Then sure. Oh, passing is? Just passing?
The skills competition.
No, man. I'm talking just passing because he has no other skills.
He can dribble.
Just passing.
And he also has a fear of shooting in a game that, like, you have to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
I think James Johnson became what they hoped McBob's would, right?
Like James Johnson became what, I mean, he's better than LeBron. We're fine. We're good.
Like, James Johnson is what they thought LeBron would be.
Yeah.
A lifer.
Yeah.
No,
JJ ain't leaving.
I don't want to get into that today because we've talked about that ad nauseum, and there's still a season to be played. There's still one more game to be in, and we should honestly celebrate this team more because we've done that plenty, but I really don't think they're going to make it, but I don't think that should matter because what they did, like, they made half this season matter in a way that I don't think any of us thought that they would. And I know we've talked about this before, how a lot of you were watching college basketball, looking at Lonzo Ball and Fultz and
Flutz.
Monk, whatever. Yeah, all these people whose names I don't know. Like, and all of a sudden, this team started playing well, and that totally went out the window. And Miami cared about this team again. Like, this captured Miami in, like, a really fun way. And I think the status quo right now is you're either bad or you're trying to contend, or you're like Miami was in this area where they weren't they led the league in losses. At the time, the lowest point, they led the league in losses.
Yeah, and I mean, if they finish 500, I mean, it's incredible. And I think that I'm always trying to get SI to write about the Grizzlies more. It's really hard to get people to care about the Grizzlies. But the reason I love the Grizzlies is because they made the playoffs, like, what, 7 or 8 years in a row? And, like, they'll probably be forgotten 5 years from now because, like, you know, they never won a championship. They never came close to conference finals. It's just nice to have good teams in the NBA. It's nice that some teams are not so concerned about tanking or whatever it is. And not that I don't understand that strategy, you know, in a very broad sense, but it's great that the Heat were like, we're going to finish out this season. You know, it would have been so easy to just pack it in, and they got all these guys on one-year deals. The NBA is the league that is the worst at just appreciating teams that are good, because there's no incentive to be good. Your only incentives are to be elite or disastrous. I mean, there's no incentive to be good, and that bothers me as a person who likes watching good basketball, right? So that was what was great about this season, is it was good basketball to watch, especially for the second half, and it sucks that a lot of teams, a lot of fan bases don't always get that, and that the NBA doesn't, you know, make it, you know, positive for teams to be simply good.
But this team has a history of doing that. Like, even the year that they didn't make it, the first year after LeBron, they had a lot of injuries. But, I mean, they were playing until, like, the last day, you know, when they got, you know, when they got eliminated.
That game was super fun where six people played. And
no, you know what I mean? Like, when they were eliminated from playoff contention, when they shut it down. But they were trying to make it. It was a double overtime game late into the season against Sacramento that we were all in on. You know what I mean? Like, I just think, and I don't want to do, like, this whole cliche nonsense of culture and, you know, mysticism and this and that. But I do think there's something to be said about how they never do that. Like, they're always
the players love the culture thing, by the way.
No, I know. Competitors only. Like, they eat that state. Nobody in sports loves mythology more than the people playing it, right? Like, I think journalists and Ron, like, I'm sure we've done it before. You write and you create this mysticism and this narrative, like, around sports. And we know it's constructed to a certain degree, but the players eat that up almost as much as fans do.
I don't know. I've seen both sides. I feel like you'd be surprised how many NBA players aren't basketball fans.
I'm sure. I mean,
yeah, but in a way that lends
Andre
itself.
Andre Drummond.
Yeah, in a way that lends itself to being like they couldn't really care less about narratives or whatever it is, but I don't know. I was at the Heat Knicks game and I was talking to JJ and I talked to Willie Reed, and the way they would both say they do things differently around here was like borderline cultish. very borderline cultish. They were like, yeah, man, they do things differently around here. Like, what do you suggest?
All at the same time, at the same tone.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, but they both said that. They both said that independently of each other. And like, it's just very interesting how they sell the players on it. And it's interesting hearing that from people who've played for a bunch of teams. It's, you know, it's one thing if Udonis says it, right? Because what does he know? That's all he knows. But then you get a guy like James Johnson or Willie Reed, and they've bounced around, and they've been on a couple teams.
Joe Johnston said that when he was here last year.
So it's very interesting. It's very interesting talking to the guys about it.
To steal Brass Jazz's quote, they put the cult in culture, right?
I was thinking that as he was saying it.
That has to be your next shirt.
We need to put that on a t-shirt.
Okay.
Right, but I think what – I mean, obviously, you know, we're a Heat podcast. We obviously are biased, but it's – I mean, it's impressive what the Heat – I mean, I was ready to give up on the season and start watching college basketball, which I
want Lonzo Ball, man. I still kind of –
Yeah. I don't like – oh, hey, maybe – look, if we don't make the playoffs, maybe we'll sneak into a top three pick. But, no, I just – it's impressive what Spo's done this year, like the player development, even with, like, you know, you would have thought before the year if the Heat were like at 500, it had a lot to do with Winslow. Winslow hasn't played much at all. And even though I was mad at Josh Richardson for a month, and I still think he plays too many minutes, you know, the way that Spo has stuck with him, like, no matter what, sink or swim, and he's been swimming the last few games, is just a testament to how Spo is loyal to his guys, and they have faith. And that's you know, I don't really have the guts. I'm wearing the shirt, but I mean, you know, I'm
in a mild defense of Josh, who I've also, you know, I think injuries played a big role in his struggles this year. Spo sees him every day, right? Like, Spo's probably seeing the work he puts in. Spo's probably seeing how he's practicing. So while I agree it's frustrating sometimes when we're watching him and we're like, why isn't Wayne in the game? You know, he's seen them a lot. That I'm, you know, again, the loyalty plays a big role in it, but I always had a feeling Josh would come around, only because, you know, I think if Spo had genuinely seen that, like, oh man, he's kind of lost it, like last year was a fluke, he wouldn't have him on the court in these big moments. But I think he must have seen enough evidence somewhere to know that, okay, he'll probably come around a little bit.
Alex, did you want to say something? I saw you raising your hand.
I mean, yeah, he's averaging 15-3-3 in April, man. He's not the worst player in the NBA like Harrison thought.
Harrison and Alf went out of their way to slander the hell out of him.
I never said anything like he was the worst player in the NBA.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
He wasn't. He wasn't the brightest player in the NBA.
Why you gotta do that?
Wait, what did I do?
Why are you taking out Josh Richardson's intelligence? You don't know that.
No, I didn't. I don't know, like, his IQ, or I wasn't talking about that. I just when you a few times ago you said. No, it's not a race thing, man. We got to cut this out.
you hate when we do that.
Yeah, because it's so bad. Like, I'm sitting here. I got, you know, anyway. No, it was more like you made the Chalmers comparison the other day, and now I can't get it out of my head. And you guys know how much I detest Mario Chalmers.
I love Chalmers.
Hold on, wait. I have to pause. Brian is my dear friend and my partner in this thing we call Heat Beats.
He's in this world.
He's my life partner. Brian sent me the worst question to ask Rohan. He said, ask Rohan what he thinks the secret to Miami Heat culture is. That is the worst question I've ever heard. Brian, why did you think that was a good idea to ask?
You know, let me defend Brian.
No, don't. Brian, explain yourself.
Quote from James Johnson, if Coach Spo and Coach Rawls want to share... Well, sure, then they can go ahead and I'm going to keep the culture a secret. So I just really want to know, what do you think that secret was?
Yeah, see, I was going to say,
he read his stuff. She let him.
Johnson.
such a bad question. Okay, what's the secret to heat culture?
Thank you. Thank you, Brian, for being a loyal reader of SI.com, first of all.
You're welcome.
I read your Dwayne piece. It was excellent.
Thank Stop you. It. Here we go. Stop.
We're not talking. That was my next question.
I missed Dwayne. Okay, what's the secret to heat culture, Ron? Tell us. Give up the goods.
Okay. One thing that I took away was, and obviously we've all read about it a ton ad nauseum this season, but the conditioning thing is a huge, it goes beyond just wanting the players in shape. It's a clearly something that they use kind of as like a badge of honor. And I think it's like a huge motivator for them. It's obvious that it goes beyond like, hey, you're going to do this because, you know, we need you to be fit in the fourth quarter. It's, oh, we're going to get you to do this because, you know, it's going to be, there's going to be a competitive aspect to it. There's like, it's a weird motivating thing that they use. I think the biggest thing that I took away from James was the way he talked about Spo. And you could see the sincerity in his voice when he was talking about how Spo, you know, he said, it's not just on the court stuff, it's off the court stuff. And I think what I gleaned from that was, I think Spo realized that you can't get, it's hard to get 1 year guys to buy in and be like, hey, come on, this team's an afterthought, but let's have this crazy run. I don't think that that's what he sold them on. I think, if I had to guess, I think what he sold these guys on was, you know, this is your 1 year to kind of revive your career, and I'm going to give you every opportunity to do it. And it's not about necessarily what you'll do for this team this season. It's about what this would mean for the rest of your life. And, you know, the way James Johnson was talking about, you know, this is the first time in years he doesn't feel any pressure going into the summer. He can go in knowing that, you know, teams are going to want him. He's going to get a contract offer because of how well he played. So I think, I don't know if it's a secret or if it's the secret, but I think that what I learned is Spo knows how to connect with these guys in a way that goes beyond just X's and O's and, hey, we're going to use you as a center and unlock your potential. I think he connects with them on the level of, you know, I want you to be great for the rest of your life, not just for this team.
What I was thinking was once, like, I think Udonis is probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Udonis is kind of a conduit from management, from Spoelstra to the players, right? Because he's the example. And right. We've seen the Heat's Instagram account and all their social media. Like, they're showing UD, even though he doesn't play, that he works really hard, right? So, like, if he's not there anymore, like, does this still work?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's tough. I mean, it depends what you mean by there. I'd be shocked if the day Udonis retired, he didn't join the coaching staff or something like that.
It's different when there's a guy in the locker room that's next to you that's working his ass off, and even though he knows he's not going to play, he's working as hard as the rest of the guys. I think that goes a long way. You know what I mean? Like, if you know, let's say UD wasn't on this team, I mean, you have Hassan Whiteside and Goran as the voice of the locker room. They're not exactly products, you know, they're in the team and the system, but they're not, molded Heat culture guys that are doing what, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think they want Justice to be that guy. I think that he could be. I think they're trying to mold those guys. Josh, Tyler, I think Tyler could be that guy for them. He's someone who, just look at where he's come from, though. I mean, it's an incredible story at the end of the day. So I think they're grooming those guys, and they'll always have one or two on deck, even if they're not, you know, at the status that UD is, but they'll get there. So I think that's a good point, but they're always grooming them somewhere.
I really like what Leif said. He said that he thinks James Johnson will be handed a captain role once UD retires. Not sure what you guys think about that.
I want to know why Leif's not on the podcast. I was ready to ask him a bunch of questions, man.
He's too busy being a dad.
Culture boy, as Sedano calls him. I don't know. We just settled on this. We settled on this rag. We're like the Heat right now. We're a ragtag team suicide of guys.
Squad. The Heat are an actual suicide squad. They got all the players no one else in the NBA wanted.
That's like they're spare parts.
Yeah, they're absolutely spare parts.
From Hassan to even Goran, if you think about it, because Phoenix had three point guards: Isaiah, Eric Bledsoe, and Goran. They didn't want Goran. Goran was the first one moved, right? If I'm wrong.
Goran, they're both moved the same day.
Huh?
Goran didn't want out.
Yeah, Goran wanted out. But I think the one that they wanted to keep was Bledsoe. I think that was clear from the start. That was the one that they wanted to keep.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, did Miami get the worst of the three?
You could make the case. Bledsoe's a good
who?
between Bledsoe, Isaiah Thomas, and Goran, because I was thinking.
No, Goran's better than Bledsoe.
I don't know, man. Bledsoe's really good, and Bledsoe's
and
a hell of
I don't
a
care any. You're gonna see it. Isaiah is gonna be a like just a turnstile on defense in the playoffs. They're mm-hmm. just gonna whoever's going against him is going to have a field day. So,
Brass, do you think if Miami gets Boston, do you think they have a chance?
Yeah, I think. Well, if. I don't know. Does that fall within the 6 to 8 week?
Yeah. Okay. Let's say that the 6 to 8 weeks passes and Deion is available.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely do. If you could shut Isaiah down, they can do that, man. They can compete with anybody if they have Deion. They have all the pieces to be able to do that. Am I saying are they going to? Or are they locked to? Absolutely not. But they're going to be hell for just about anybody if they can get Deion back and Deion plays like he played before he got injured.
Harry, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say that it might end up being a really good season for Heat Beat because 6 to 8 weeks is gonna end up being real good. And if the Heat finish 500 tomorrow, that was our collective prediction.
Consensus
using all of our combined predictions. So that would be, you know, we gotta do something big for that. Maybe get a cake.
Rohan, the entire staff did predictions at the beginning of the year. And if you average out everyone's predictions, it averages out to 500.
That's outstanding.
So our collective unconscious might be correct here. And by the way, Deion's trying to rush back. Does this count in the 6 to 8 week window? Because I think he's cheating.
He says he's like getting hurt walking.
Dude, he's there's no way he
can
play.
How's he gonna play?
Well, they showed the only video they showed today was him getting by Haslam, which I don't know.
He was not close.
If that's much, I mean, I love Haslam, but I don't know if that's if he can get by, if he could get by like TJ or something, maybe that'd be better. But
by the way, how come it took so long for me to get an invite on the Heat Beat podcast? By the way,
that's I don't know. Rohan, we've actually talked about having you on forever. You and Josh Bogard from Slice Miami. Like, I think this whole season we've been saying we gotta. After you wrote the Dwayne column, we're like, oh, we gotta get him on. And we just haven't.
I was waiting. I think the problem is I'm not really on Heat Twitter.
No, yeah, you're more official. It's kind of like Nikias. Nikias has like meandered into NBA Twitter, and like everybody likes him over there, and they respect him. And
I'm not even like kind of on NBA Twitter. I want to be on Heat Twitter, but I just think that I don't know. It just never really happened for me, and now here I am.
Just start slandering people. You'll fit in. Like, just start making fun of people, slandering.
Ask players if they like anime. That works.
The real issue is that Giancarlo has an idea to invite someone on, but he's too afraid to ask because he's like has a terrible fear of rejection in general and in life. So he won't ask. So it's either like Alpha or I that go out and have to see if people will go on. Giancarlo's dream guest would be Doris Burke, and he's had her phone number for a long, long time, and he just needs to like send a message, and he won't
scared.
Do it.
I'm scared. I'm terrified. What am I going to say?
Oh, man, I used to do that in college all the time, man. You got to let it fly. You'd be surprised how many people are willing to do a podcast.
Hashtag shoot your shot 2017.
I was nervous the first time I got a girl's phone number, too.
I've never texted a girl before. I'm a little nervous, you know. I'm a big fan of Doris, you know.
Do they have like?
You could have at least laughed, or at least fake laughed. You just left me in silence. I was drowning.
It was too real.
I feel bad for you, really. Honestly.
I just made an unfunny joke, and I was waiting. I was like, somebody fake laughed, and Brian, you should have fake laughed. You're my partner.
Uh-huh.
I hate you so much. I hate you. But yeah, Brian has had an off. Brian, this might be like top five worst shows that you've ever done. Don't do that. I don't want to be like Cody, man.
Yeah, that's how I don't get you. Just like him.
No, I'm not.
I mean, and look, the people who defend Cody, we look horrible today because he was especially bad today.
Always bad.
Look, I'm
I'm sure he's a really nice guy. And there's no doubt that he's a nice guy.
He would be the star of this podcast.
No, he wouldn't.
He would, man. You'd underestimate him.
He's banned. Him and Ira are banned.
Oh, God.
No, Cody would be fine. We're never having Ira
on the
show.
There has to be a committee.
Unless he admits to completely lying about secondary audio.
Oh, then he can come on. Yeah, if he's willing to to do a tell-all on hashtag secondary audio.
We need to bring Ira on and, like, do an Ask Ira segment where, like, you suddenly throw joke questions at him.
It's an expose.
You don't fill him in on the joke.
No, he would not think that's funny, right? No. There's no way he would think that's funny, right?
Hey, it could go either way.
So what's the incredible journalist?
Go either way.
Or that what is it, Keith Smith? What's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, Keith Smith, man.
Rohan, have you seen him?
You guys are so ruthless on Twitter. Oh, goodness.
Oh, that's the best. That's how you fit in and eat Twitter. That's what you got to do. You got to. Why are we so mean?
I don't have it in me.
You're too nice. All right.
It can happen.
You got to go anonymous at first, I think, to be kind of ruthless. I had my name, I had my picture. I'm like, nah, screw that. This is, what if it gets back to me? But, you know, you throw Photoshop as your Avi and you know, you just keep your handle something anonymous and you're good.
So you're doing the elf.
My boss is like, why are you feuding with every NBA writer on Twitter? Well, they said Hassan looked joyless in the third quarter.
So. Yeah, but Rohan, some of these guys are like really like strangely biased, as if they had like you're offending their families when you defend. Like the guy on the Jazz, that was a crazy day. I mean, he got into a feud with Warriors Twitter. And the actual
effective take on the Jazz thing, right, is that the Hassan tweet that compared his stats to Gobert was completely kosher. There was nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that was our guy who we don't talk to anymore.
Yeah, that was totally normal.
I miss you, Christian.
For real.
Baby, continue, come back.
Stop interrupting the guest! Why are you all incompetent?
Anyway, the Hassan thing was completely normal to do. There was nothing wrong with it. That guy definitely took too much offense to the Hassan tweet. But after that, you guys were all way too mean about it.
Of course.
You're too far. You kept going on for days. Every time he tweets now, you have to say something. Just let it go. Just let it go. You had the win. You had the win when you had like this, like, hey, like, what are you, like, what's the beef, man? Like, we're just sending a tweet about Hassan. But then you guys took it way too far.
Someone horsecocked that writer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. For the audience that doesn't know what we're talking about, I think like a month or two ago, I think his name is Ben Dossett, right? Something like that.
Yeah, that's correct.
He's a Utah writer, and he tweeted out some Rudy Gobert stats. Our guy, Christian Hernandez, just quote tweeted him comparing his stats to Hassan, and he called Heat fans obtuse, and he said that we're being psychopathic. I can't speak. I can't write. Leave me alone. He Twitter did not. I mean, we still call him obtuse today. Like, he can't tweet without getting an obtuse. Yeah.
No, I mean, the other day, Tom DeAngelo wrote something like the Jazz whining about the officials or something. And I'm like, hey, send it to Ben Dowsett. He's the professional whiner for the Jazz. So,
jeez. Oh, Tom?
No, I just quoted Tom's tweet because it was fine. But
oh, I thought Tom did that for a second. I was like, Tom is real.
No, Tom's fine. He just talks.
Jason Leisure would do that. All right, we're running out of time here. I don't want. I guess you want to do. I don't really like doing predictions.
Writers left and right.
I know. I mean, we've slandered so many people today. Where's Alf? Alf would have loved to slander all these people. I don't think that he'd make the playoffs. Let's go around the room. We'd never really do this, but I feel like it's appropriate today. Alex, what do you think? Do you have guts? Alex, do you have guts?
Of course they make the playoffs. Of course they make the playoffs.
Do you have the guts?
All I have.
Ari, do you have the guts?
I'm wearing the Have the Guts shirt, but I don't think we're gonna make it. But hey, I had this weird feeling we're gonna win the lottery.
Okay, so you have no guts. Brass, do you have the guts?
If they don't make it, I have to watch anime. I have to have the guts. I have no choice.
Rohan, do you have the guts?
I don't have the guts. If the Hornets won tonight, I would have had the guts.
Yeah, that would have been better.
So no, I don't have the guts. I think they'll win. I think they'll end the season at 500, but I think that's the end of the ride, baby.
Yeah, Ryan. The Hornets are down by 25.
Ryan, do you have the guts?
I need to have the guts. I'm counting on a paycheck from the Heat in the playoffs. I need to write some stories.
Corporate shill, Brian Goins.
Get that money.
Hey, it's Flo. And you know what word I've never understood? top hat. Aren't all hats on top? They're like the toppest part of every outfit, unless I've been doing it wrong. That's why I stick with simple words like flotection. It means the sense of security you'll feel when your new home is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. Also, there shouldn't be a top hat unless there's a bottom hat. Wait, is that what underwear is?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.